Now we'll gavel the meeting to order. Mrs. Knobloch, welcome to the committee on which you serve. We're actually like to move your bill and explain it to us.
Chairman, members, thank you for making a special appearance in the Capital Investment Committee. I'm sure you're going to all be together again so soon. I'll move that House Call 498 be recommended pass and referred to the taxes. Members, House Call 498.
Are you sure about that?
I'm sure about that. Unfortunately,
Mr. Chair. Chair over there.
I know.
The gentleman would be happier in the minority.
House File 498, members, basically does three things. It relates to the 800 megahertz public safety radio system expansion in the Rochester Patrol Districts and the St. Cloud Central Minnesota Patrol Districts. As a lot of members know, you have 800 megahertz service that either is in operation or is being installed in the 7-county metro area. A few years ago, we authorized the expansion of this system into the St. Cloud area and the Rochester area. This bill does three things. First of all, it says that the radios that are purchased do not have sales taxes on them, levied on them, hence they need to go to the tax committee. The metro area radios don't pay sales tax, so I think it's an equity thing and you shouldn't pay sales tax either. Second item is it allows for bonding in the amount of $9.5 million in revenue bonds issued by the state, which is why this is here, which is backed by the state's 911 fee. And that, members, again, is why it's here. These are not general obligation bonds. They don't require a 60% vote or anything like that. But because they are technically state bonds, they do need to come to this particular committee. And finally, it just authorizes the expansion and the payment of this money to the radios and the public entities in that area, Rochester and St. Cloud areas, for the expansion of the system. And I have Keith Carlson here to testify if you have any other questions that I can answer.
Is there a fiscal note?
There is a fiscal note in regard to the sales tax. In regard to the bonding, I don't have a fiscal note.
How much is the fiscal note in regard to the sales tax?
I believe it is $1.5 million. But Mr. Carlson, if you have that, perhaps you can refresh my memory for sure. Otherwise, I'm sure I can find it here.
Mr. Chairman, members, the Department of Revenue is in the process of doing their revenue analysis or fiscal notes with regards to sales tax exemption currently. If that's not updated to catch up with the bill yet, I would anticipate that it will be somewhere in the neighborhood of approximately $6 million when it's completed.
Thank you, Mr. Carlson, but before we move on, would you identify yourself?
Mr. Chairman. I'm Keith Carlson. I'm Executive Director of the Metropolitan Inter County Association, and including the membership Stearns, also Winona, and Rice County.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I stand corrected. Of course, that's a tax issue. I've got here the revenue estimate from last year, which showed a revenue loss of $1,550,000 for fiscal year 2005. But then there were some tails to that, you know, and so apparently it would be more than that. And we're still waiting for a updated revenue estimate for the sales tax issue.
Representative Murphy has a question or comment. Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Knobloch, didn't you say in Public Safety Committee that there would be $1 million debt service each year?
Mr. Carlson, maybe you can answer that question.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Murphy, there will be debt service on this from the 911 fee. Effectively, there is a priority that will be established once the 911 issue is addressed, and possibly this issue is addressed in the public safety finance bill. $45 million of bonds for the second and third phase have been previously authorized by the legislature. Unfortunately, none of those were issued because of concerns about the adequacy of the 911 revenue. When those are issued, I believe first priority is going to be to build the state piece of the system, and then this $9.5 million comes after that. I cannot identify at this time the specific cost of that, but the 911 fee will be the exclusive source of money for doing this. Again, the fiscal note has, I have yet to see the fiscal note on this bill.
Representative Murphy, any additional questions?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Carlson, that 911 fee, that's a statewide fee.
Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, yes it is. It has historically, a portion of it has been dedicated to 800 megahertz. To date, it's been exclusively in what's actually the 9-county metropolitan area, including counties like San Francisco. And basically, the Department of Public Safety, under what it's called its ARMOR program, has designated 6 phases, I believe. The third phase is the one that representing Knobloch's bill represents, where the build-out will now extend from to the southeast of the Twin Cities metropolitan area and to the west from the north east edge. And the issue you're trying to raise about using a statewide fee for just a portion of it perhaps is germane, but ultimately it will be servicing debt throughout the state of Minnesota as the various phases get built up.
Yep.
I think Representative Murphy, I would echo her concern there. Somehow I get a feeling when those next phases come, we'll have a bunch of Metro guys saying, why would you want to do that? That's maybe I'm jaded. I can't help that. Representative Kahn.
Well, Chairman, I think this is against the same along the same lines as you're thinking. This has been going on for an awfully long time. Are we sure that this is the most cost-effective and the most reasonable? It seems to me that in the time the telecommunications industry has gone through more phases than I can even think of that. And I remember there being criticisms about what kind of interconnectivity do we have. Do we have interconnectivity with federal systems? Do we have, particularly now with Homeland Security, when there's, and also now when there's piles of Homeland Security money allegedly out somewhere in this area? Does this fit in with whatever standards Homeland Security has, and are we taking full advantage of Homeland Security federal funding? And why, if there isn't anything better for these purposes than when we started doing this, why is it there? Everything else is certainly changed.
Now, Mr. Chairman, I would like to introduce one of my other witnesses, Sheriff Steve Borcher from Olmsted County, to answer that question.
Okie doke. Sheriff, welcome to the committee. Please state your name. Representative Connors, I've been hearing about this since in my short tenure, which was back in 1999, but technology and everything else seems to have changed. What's going on here? Is there something better? Are we still going to go ahead with this because we picked it at one time? Is that about it, Representative Connors?
Yeah, I think so. When did we first start this? 20 years ago?
Mr. Chair and members, my name is Steve Borcher. I'm the Sheriff of Olmsted County. I'm Chair of the Legislative Committee of the Minnesota Sheriff's Association, and through that involvement have been involved with the statewide radio board, which has become known as the ARMOR Project, that was taken over by the Department of Public Safety. Chair and Representative Kahn, if I may, I've been hearing about this project since about 1992 or 1993, which is, I believe, when it had its initial genesis in the metropolitan area, because of the need for interoperability.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah, it's probably at least 10 years. And 800 megahertz is a little bit of a misnomer. The key concept here is trunked radio for the purposes of interoperability, and that is essentially computers controlling the frequencies so that you don't just transmit on a frequency, a group of employees that function on a frequency. The computer controls a bundle of frequencies and then plugs in the conversation wherever there's a free spot. And so it's much more efficiently managing the available frequency space. And if you think of terms of a frequency going forward in time on a timeline, and it's an essential move relative to maximizing the use of the airways, because we're running out of airspace. And as you can well imagine, it's becoming crowded in the 90s with the proliferation of police and wireless traffic. for public safety, and now that's been exacerbated with the cell phones coming online that consume good chunks of the wireless radio spectrum. And as a result of that, a few years ago, the FCC dictated that there be something called refarming. That is, all the VHF equipment out there had to be re-engineered to be able to operate on half the bandwidth. That still didn't create as many additional channels as was going to be necessary to address the growing need for wireless communications channels, because as you know, the radio spectrum is finite, so we have to find ways to subdivide it and utilize it more efficiently. Can't create more of it. And that's where this project comes in. It has gone through several reiterations in the metropolitan area as it has grown. Now, it is kind of an expandable procedures or expandable kind of format. Anytime we buy computers, anytime we build radio equipment, we're never going to have it made and be up to date at the same time that we're installed. It's always going to be at some level of obsolete. The system is being planned so it can be upgraded and grown as is necessary as new technologies come into play. Thus far, it's still the lead technology for this kind of communication and is being introduced all over the nation with Homeland Security money in some cases. Mr. Chair and Representative Kahn, to address your issue about the Homeland Security money that you say has been diverted towards the program, you're absolutely right, it has. Over the last several years, as MnDOT and now the Department of Public Safety has sought to move the backbone of this project out to the outstate areas, with southeastern and central being the first two areas of expansion, the money that is followed. The funding, the revenue source is going to be the 911 fund. And that was seen as to be the 911 fund statewide, as this the 911 fund being the revenue source for the bond statewide as this thing grew across the state. However, there were some issues with the 911 fund. There was some arrearages due to some phone company charges that had to be taken care of first. There was some disagreement last year as to how much it should be increased, if it should be increased at all. And 2 years ago, there was an authorization for $7 million in bonds to be issued and supported by the 911 fund revenue. That never happened because the fund couldn't be made solvent. This year, there's a bill in the Senate as part of the governor's budget to increase the 911 fee to make the 911 fund whole to be able to support that 40-some million in bonds and what Representative Knobloch has here. Course in a hierarchy. So, I could talk for an awful long time on this. I don't know if I've answered all your questions. You're right, it is a long project. We are not halfway there. The goal is interoperability across the whole state. New technologies will come online as the project is developing. It's been engineered in such a way that the new technologies can be accommodated. The goal is interoperability statewide. We need that so that police departments, sheriff's offices, fire departments, and ambulances can all talk to each other in addition to state and responders for Homeland Security. We also need it because the proliferation of traffic is crowding the airwaves in such a way that we need this technology to more efficiently use it by that resource.
Representative Knobloch, what backs these bonds up?
The 911 fees.
Nothing else? 911 fees not sufficient. What happens?
Then there's a default on bonds. If there was some doubt about whether there'd be enough 911 fees, they probably wouldn't be issued in the first place. But if there's just not enough 911 fees, there's a default on the bond. It does not go against the state's general tax revenue or property tax or anything like that.
Members, have any other questions? Representative Murphy.
Just one more.
And Representative Kelleher May, she looks curious. Representative Murphy.
Representative Knobloch, you said you're taking this to tax committee from here. But public safety is going to fund it?
Chair, it's my anticipation and hope at least that public safety will fund the public safety portion of it and that taxes will fund the tax exemption portion of it.
Is it coming back to public safety from taxes?
Representative Knobloch.
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, it's been in public safety, it's passed public safety.
I don't think it needs to come back. I anticipate it will be part of the omnibus bill.
Which omnibus bill?
The public safety omnibus. Well, I anticipate that the public safety portion of it relating to the 911 fee and the debt would be part of the public safety omnibus bill, and that the 911 sales tax exemption would be part of the omnibus tax bill.
And Mr. Chair, Representative Nava, as you worked out the target for public safety, was this included in the target?
Representative Nava.
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, there is no general fund effect of this bill on public safety. It's a special revenue fund dealing with the 911 fee, and so there isn't a target.
So they're going to carry it.
Representative Murphy.
Well, Representative Murphy, Mr. Chair, I guess whether they carry it or not is up to you and the rest of the committee.
When you get the money for the tax portion of it, Representative Nava. Seemed like a lot of discussion needed a smaller bonding bill because we're all concerned about the dollars they're taking it from education or health and human services. So are you going to take it from education or health and human services?
Well, Mr. Chair, I can't take it from education or health and human services. It's a tax item. And it's a it is a above-the-line tax cut sort of item. So it's not something that goes against, as I understand it, the expenditures for, local government aid or something like that. It would be a case where this would have to be paid for above the lines in the tax committee. And I can only hope I can prevail upon the tax committee to vote for that portion of the bill.
Representative Kelleher does have a question.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Nava, you said something curious, that if the bonds go to a default, which it sounds like there's a revenue source, so that's probably very unlikely, that who would back those up? I mean, it is the property taxpayers, is it not, in terms of, or is it the state that backs up a revenue bond if it defaults?
Well,
Representative Nava.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kelleher, these bonds are issued by the state, but they are revenue bonds. They are bonds that are based on those revenues. There's no general obligation if the 911 fee drops up for some reason. There is not a obligation of the state taxpayers to pay for it.
Mr. Chair, maybe I can clarify a little bit. I think Representative
Mr. Carlson, bring clarification.
From the Metropolitan Intercounty, the confusion here comes from the fact that to date the bonds that have been authorized to be issued have been the bonds of the Metropolitan Council, in which case the Met Council could conceivably, if a default occurred, have levied a property tax to take care of the deficiency. The bonds that are authorized in Representative Knobloch's bill anticipates they will be specifically provided they will be issued by the Commissioner of Finance, so they will be a state obligation rather than a Met Council obligation. And the only security for the bonds is the 911 fee and the proceeds generated by their issuance. There is no property tax backup for those.
Representative Kelleher.
Mr. Chair, maybe I'm not following that completely, but on the summary, something before I walk in here, but on the summary, it does say the Metropolitan Council is authorized to do the bonding.
Mr. Carlson, we're reading from the House Research.
Mr. Chairman.
It's an old summary. Okay. All right. Thank you for clearing that. Fine. Representative Garofalo, who is new here. Representative Garofalo. Thought I'd save you the time. I won't do that next year. Oh, he's turning a nice chair for that, isn't he?
Thank you.
He's good at that.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Carlson, do you know if the 911 fee applied to IP telephony services?
Mr. Carlson. That's sort of a distinct issue that's not addressed through this legislation. Currently, because of the federal prohibition against state taxes on the Internet, the standard interpretation is that the state fees and taxes cannot apply to this. However, I'll point out that over in the Senate there is an omnibus telecommunications bill that is moving forward that tries to get around that issue. I'm not in a position to say whether or not it'll be successful, but the intent of that bill is that the 911 fee, as well as the tap fee and one other fee, I forget, will in fact apply to both voice over internet telephone.
Thank you, Mr. Carlson.
Well, and that's why I think I had the concern about the 911 fee, because I know, at least it seems like I read something here that we're going to take some of our lines to the state office building and move them to the internet. I would guess that we probably exempt ourselves from the 911 fee anyway under the don't do like we do what we tell you rule. But and as more people do that, I worry that the 911 fee will diminish. But what do I know?
Mr. Chairman, they don't actually move the phone lines to the internet. They just move it to voice over IP. I'd be happy to provide a tutorial for you.
There you have it. I'll put it in an email, will you? I'll get around to reading it soon.
Chairman, I guess you can always learn something new.
Yes, I can. Exactly right. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't lead him straight. No, great. Okay, with that, is there any other questions or comments, suggestions, witty comments? Carlos, what do you think? We're done here. All those in favor of moving this bill, did you ask for an affirmative vote or?
Recommendation to pass and move to the tax committee.
Recommendation to pass and move to Representative Pinky's committee, who is the happier minority. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed. Congratulations. The bill is passed and we refer to the committee on taxes. Representative Finkelstead, I think, has carefully reviewed the minutes of the 215 and the 216-05 meeting of this.
Mr. Chairman, with approval.
Any additions, corrections, or suggestions? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Sign.
All right.
No, I didn't. The minutes are adopted. With that, the meeting is almost adjourned. Representative Finkelstead.
Mr. Chair, I'm just wondering what you see coming forward for our committee here during the rest of the year or during the interim.
Well, during the interim, well, let's go to the for the rest of the year. I don't know if we'll be. You got anything else now that you're going to bring up? Any other bills? Any bonding? Assuming that Representative Knobloch has no more bills that have bonding in them, we probably won't meet again unless we start talking about stadiums. So barring stadiums, I don't think that we'll be required to meet again. I think that at some point we'll if you haven't, perhaps, you know, your vacation schedule, you might want to send that to Mr. Coe or Ms. Feltola, because I suppose we'll plan a couple of interim visits. I know Representative Kahn and I are interested in taking the committee to Little Falls to see the bear in the cage up there at the Little Falls Zoo. And or if you have suggestions of things that you think the committee ought to take a look at. And I know Representative Murphy does. She's got a zoo up there probably or something. But we'll start taking a look at that and nose around, because I anticipate that we'll have a significant bill again next year. Representative Murphy, yes, you have something?
I have a suggestion.
Comment. All right. You want to vocalize them? I mean, send
Not
them in? All right. Email them to the new guy.
But I would say to the committee, Representative Dorman has asked for a tour of the caves in St. Paul, if any of the other committee members would like to accompany him on the caves of St. Paul.
Not the caves where people are dying.
That's before or after they fill them in.
Sure, I think Representative Dorman would like to follow you in.
They'll be behind me every step of the way.
At least on the way in.
Representative Kahn.
Mr. Chairman, I think you should tell everyone to get in good shape so we can bicycle all the new tents.
I will ride my bike along with you.
You come to the Lake Valley where you cannot bicycle, so we can.
I will ride my bike.
We'll do that.
If you'd like to snowmobile, I'm sure we can make it.
All right. An ATV.
No, we won't go there.
The guy in Brainerd said I could ride my bike on the bike path. I said, all right. I want that in writing. I don't want to take it. All right, with that, this meeting is adjourned.